The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Appetite and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, we have Mr. Hassan Godwin. And also, because Hassan is so enthusiastically here, we have two of the four Ninja Turtles. We have NYC Spineworks creator, founder. Also, he's a whatnot streamer, and he's a CGT facilitator. We have Mr. Michael Raphael.
Sup, nerds? Thank you, everybody, for having me.
Did you like that introduction? You've never been called two of the four turtles?
That was fantastic. You know, you are the very first person to ever make that joke as an adult. Previously, it was only the elementary school children that would tease me about it, and I was called turtle.
Well done.
You know, but, you know, kids are mean. But, but yes, I am the owner of Spineworks Comics NYC Cleaning and Pressing. Still wondering why after 5 years, and I was supposed to go back and get a real job, quote unquote, after like one or two. But yet here we are, and moving forward, and thank you so much for having me.
So on this week, yes, Hassan?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Please continue.
So on this week's show, in addition to having Michael Raphael on the show, we also have L-Man Jenny Feldy interviewing photographer Maheen Lemon. But before we do any of that, we have to take away with the non-news.
It's Morphin' Time!
The non-news is brought to you in part by the fine folks of sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi.
For your Wi-Fi. What makes it non-news? What's because the news is non-news?
Because we're not actually going to have news, but we still have to do all the stuff that we talk about to the news.
Isn't that news?
No,
isn't
it's not news. We're not. We have no news.
Isn't news just sharing new information?
See, well, we're, news. See there?
We're
see
not,
there?
We're not sharing new information.
See what
information.
Just happened?
This is old information.
This is old.
But if you're resharing it...
So it's the old, not the news, right?
It's the old.
Okay.
It could be new to somebody.
It is new to somebody. It's new to me. Because
I have no idea
what's
going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And also the fine folks of the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official radio show of, celebrating with 26, 7, 8, 9 years of comic bookness and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. Their next convention is scheduled all the way for November the 21st. Tickets are not on sale right now. Also want to give a shout out to our Patreons, of which they are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, Newsday Famous Rosa Media, Shad Rather Art, Yasmin Ray, The Huracan, Millie Portes, and GTS Comics. You want to have your own little shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. There's a little button on there. It takes you right to our Patreon page. Also on the It Came From Radio website is my book, Designated, a book about two warring alien races fighting over a new discovered power source. The war finds its way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain ability. Issue 1 and Issue 2 are on sale right now.
Just one caveat.
Yes?
We've had the internet for 30 years. You can stop saying the W's. Everybody knows the W's are there.
We just covered that. You know, we just said the same thing. No one says W. I asked, do you have to say that anymore? Because we just
only
typed
Mark.
It into the search bar and it goes.
Only Mark.
Only Mark says the W's.
Because fact, we've been doing this show for quite some time.
Yeah, now. You can stop saying the W's. If people get the W's.
Really?
I'm just saying. People know the W's.
Well, maybe.
If they don't have Google, though.
Oh, don't help him. Don't
I'm
help
just saying.
Him. All right, fine. Keep doing the W's.
Yes, thank you.
www mark.
Do you know how many people don't know what the WWW stand for?
I can imagine quite a few, because most people are...
I've actually had more than one person
say,
what
does
it actually mean?
Mark doesn't know what they stand for.
I know what WWW stands for.
Whoa.
All right, so with all that, we're all done.
Caught you with a zinger.
No, we're all done, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more.
Need a break.
It came from the radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios at hotmail.com.
BKG Productions, LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content. Specializing in professional audio editing, I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds. From podcasts to songs, I've got you covered. Whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs, email bkgvobiz@gmail.com. Or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. You're listening to It Came From the Radio. Get out. Get out.
Calling all comic fans, Hurricane, Long Island's only benefit comic art convention, returns in 2026. Join us May 9th and December 12th at Bethany Congregational Church, East Rockaway, New York. Grab toys and collectibles, dig through comic books, meet artists and writers, enter amazing raffles, enjoy food, fellowship, and rock your cosplay. Just a $5 donation gets you in from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit Hurricane on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's Hurricane LI for details. Hurricane, where heroes unite for good.
Hi, this is Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hey kids, this is CJ Ramone of the world famous Ramones, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
This is Tiffany Shepis, Dr. Oak from Star Trek Picard, and you are listening to It Came From the Radio.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Hi, this is Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking with Mr. Hassan Godwin in the studio.
Yeah, yes.
And our special guest we're going to be talking to with and about, Mr. Michael Raphael.
No, thank you again for having me. I'm surprised you let me stay after the first minute. I was like, press chuck it. All right, get this guy out of here. He's done.
So, you have a company.
I do.
Which facilitates grading and pressing, right?
I do.
So how does that come into play?
Well, I'll be honest. It shouldn't.
No, I want you to lie.
the comic book business is interesting.
Nice word for it.
I found out that we were pregnant with our first child going back 5 years, right? I wasn't. My wife was pregnant.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I wasn't pregnant. Okay. No, my
that
wife
is
wasn't.
That is a common term, Mark.
I know.
It's a common term.
Yeah, you're supposed to say we now.
Yes.
Because we
you
are
share
pregnant.
The
we did
experience
it together.
With the wife.
I mean, literally, we did it together. I mean, that's how these things happen. Yeah. So when a mommy and daddy. All right, but anyway.
There were these birds.
Yeah.
And occasionally there were these bees.
And when they get together.
Yeah.
So we find out we're pregnant.
No, there's no. The birds and the bees kicked the stork's butt a long time ago.
Yeah, the stork is definitely outdated. Nobody's buying that.
The Smurfs had the stork.
No one's buying the stork thing
Please
anymore.
Please continue. Don't listen to us.
So I had a normal job where I wore a suit and tie and did all this normal stuff. And everything was peachy keen. Found out we're pregnant. And then all of a sudden, as someone who worked in the hotel industry in New York, Chicago, and Miami, we heard whispers of a virus going around, and we had no clue what that meant. So all I thought was, wow, I'm going to make some extra money selling cleaning services to the buildings I was managing at the time.
Hmm.
Well, long behold, after a while, the contracts for the outfit I worked for kind of were axed, and I was, well, without work. At first, we all thought COVID was going to be the same thing. 30 days. I haven't had a vacation at that point for the last 12 years. So I'm like, you know what? I could put my feet up for a few minutes. A few minutes turned into a couple weeks. A couple weeks turned into months. Finally, my buddy Lenny down in Florida said, "But pal, you're going to have to buy diapers. So I know you got a nice little severance, but just in case, why don't we do something?" Nice. So I was like, "What?" He's like, "We've been fixing comics. Let's try to fix comics for people." And I was like, "People going to give me money for that?" I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Well, it's either that or the back alley." I was like, "All right, well." I thought about the back alley one or two times.
Given the alternative.
Yeah, I figured, you know what? All right. Instead of violating the sanctity of my marriage for finances, I might as well just do something legitimate. After that, I went to comics. So, you know, we started Spineworks in Kissimmee and Queens, New York, respectively, out of our houses, which was interesting. Working at home, I don't know how people like doing that. I can't stand it. Working at home is the most horrible thing. It's because either A, you can't go to work and get anything done, or B, you never leave work. Those are the only two ways I see it.
Yeah. And it's both of those at the same time.
At the same time, right? It's like, I'm feeling really productive today, but the couch looks comfy. You know, maybe I do have time to binge 12 episodes of, MCU.
Maybe. Maybe so. Anything, maybe that has happened.
Anything but Iron Fist. So, I mean, if I want to sleep, though.
Yes.
I'll definitely put Iron Fist on if I want to go to sleep.
Iron Fist will put you nice and tidy to bed.
Although Colleen and Misty, that was worth watching.
We got to be very careful.
Yeah. The views of the show's hosting.
They were great.
We're good. We're fine.
And they take no responsibility for the guests they walk through
the
door.
We never do, though.
You
should. We never do.
I wouldn't want to be responsible for me. So anyway, speaking of being responsible, so I decided to start a business with my buddy, fixing comic books for people. Unbeknownst to us, we had done comic books for a YouTube group.
One question.
Sure.
When you say fix comics, please explain for the uninitiated what you mean by fixing comics.
So it's a very loosely used term. Tape. So comic books can be bent, they can be dinged, they can be rolled.
Cosmetically, you repair.
I am a comic cosmetologist. How about that? If that makes sense. So if your page is bent, I flatten it. If it's got a little schmutz on it, I clean it off. We make them nice and pretty, and then people send them down to the grading gods vis-a-vis CGC and pray for the best, hope for the best. And fortunately for us, we've turned out some really good results. People are very happy with it. I tell people all the time, you know, the only thing we're trying to do is make your comic book look as pretty as possible so that it can be judged like a beauty contest.
Nice.
I'm going to ask you a controversial question based on that statement.
I mean, you got the right guy in the right seat for that. Good luck.
So, if it's a beauty contest and you're beautifying the person, is it kind of cheating when you're doing that to a comic book as opposed to it's what it really is and then, like, it's the fake version of
it? He's bringing out the inner beauty of the comic.
Well, I look at it like this. Were you supposed to bend it? Were you supposed to spill your coffee on it?
No.
Were you supposed to take it into the bathroom with you? Absolutely not. So all the things you did to it that got it to the point where now I have to deal with it weren't supposed to be there. All I'm doing is removing the evidence. So
removing the evidence. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm removing the evidence of your mishandling
that
of your goods.
You're a comic abuser.
There you go.
This is the...
I didn't say a naughty. I didn't do it. I didn't. I totally didn't. I thought I did for a second.
That's an amazing response to that question. Like, I really like, is that a slogan that you have used in the past, or is it just something you just getting rid of right now?
Get rid of the evidence of your irresponsibility? I think we're going to do that now. You heard it here first. On It Came From the Radio. Now you know where my new business slogan is coming from. Next thing, we're going to get weird phone calls,
alibis.
Man.
We cook comic book alibis.
We're going to say we get rid of evidence. My inbox is going to be so sketchy for the next couple of weeks now. Thanks a lot. You know.
My second controversial question, we'll go to the easy ones in just a few minutes. When you grade something, you're encapsulating the item. It becomes a Schrodinger's cat of sorts. You don't really know what's in the slab.
Well, technically, it should be what's on the label. That's what we put our trust in, you know, when we deal with a grading company. And I don't like to single one out. More than one exists. And I feel like since CGC is the lion's share of the market, they've been great partners. Well, listen, you know, for someone who started their business out of a basement, you know, partnering with them and them allowing us to be authorized dealers and signature series facilitators. Listen, it helped keep the company afloat, you know, new streams of revenue. And nothing is perfect. I tell everyone, your favorite baseball player is never batting 1,000, okay? Shohei does not walk up to the plate and every single time knocks it out. Babe Ruth hit how many home runs, but how many times did he strike out? A whole lot of times, but we don't talk about that. You know, nothing is perfect. And you know what? These are human businesses. Not everything is AI yet. Skynet has not quite taken over everything yet. But you know what? You know, subjectivity, objectivity, things that, you know, could be the human flaw and the human error come into play. Now, my only question would be sometimes, I know there's a level of subjectivity used when you're grading your books, right? You know, it's up to the grader, but then there's another opinion based on it. For me, however, I think it should be a strict guideline that should be adhered to across the board. And I think a grade is a grade is a grade. Like, you shouldn't, you know, if I had a good day, you shouldn't get a 9.8. And, you know, if I had a bad day yesterday, you shouldn't get a 9.2. Does that happen? I don't know. You know, a lot of people ask me, what do you think this book is going to grade? I don't know. But you're a comic presser. I'm like, yeah, but you pay the other people to grade the book. I don't really know. My job, make it pretty. Their job, give you a number. That's it. I'm le artiste, not le critique, if you will. But, you know, it's an interesting business model for sure. I think a lot of people put a lot of stock in it. I tell people, buy the book, not the grade. If you're looking at 2 9.8s and you notice one, a 9.8 is, you know, I guess the top standard right now that you could hope to get. Sometimes you can go above and exceed that, but not likely. It might have a flaw in it that you can see, right? This one has a color break, this one does not, but they're both 9.8s because there are guidelines that, you know, a simple flaw or a single flaw could be allowed. But one might be a little miswrapped, one the colors might be more vibrant. So, you know, you should always buy the book you're happy with. And you know what, being a grade snob, if you will, and I'm not trying to belittle anyone, some people only want high grade books, and that's fine. If that's how you collect, do whatever makes you happy, right? It's like the 60s, right? Do whatever you feel. Was that the era of do what you feel, the 60s?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I wasn't either, right? I watched the documentaries. I watched the documentaries, like, do what you feel, man. Like, all that stuff.
That's so how we got here.
It should be the same thing with collecting. You know, you should enjoy your stuff. It's your hard-earned money. If you're going to spend it wisely. Spend it how you want to. If you take something home and you look at it and it makes you happy, it brings you a little bit of joy, and then you put it in a box and forget about it, like last week's underwear, you know, you should be able to do so without worry.
So speaking of last week's underwear and the cleaning process...
Oh, don't use that as a segue.
How do you do the... It's paper. Like, how hard is it to actually, like, clean? And in addition, how far have you gotten from point A to point B? Like,
we've done everything from a simple wipe off the comic schmutz, which is anything that's sitting on your book after it's been in the same bag and board for 20 years, which you should not do. You know, if you want to lessen, it's like, if you don't want to go to the doctor, take care of yourself. You don't want to have to give me your money, take care of your comics, right? You should change your bags and boards if you're using polypropylene probably within every 5 years or so. Now, for those people who have large collections, that could be a daunting task. Yeah. I mean, you could literally spend a day and a half doing that. Yeah.
If you're lucky.
And all the little cuts on your knuckles from your tape dispenser, you're not going to want to do that, but you should. Right, so even if you're doing it once in a while, but if you do find yourself in need of services like Spineworks Comics NYC provides, you know, we'll come in and we'll actually sit you through it. We'll look through the books together. I'll tell you what you did wrong, and a lot of times, you know, we've had everything from a book that just needs a wipe down to a book that we literally have had to soak, dismantle, take apart the book, and soak. So I personally only use water. I don't use chemicals. I don't use any magic solutions. Our process is 100% green. We do know how to do something called the hydrogen peroxide blue light thing. I don't like doing it. I tell people I don't want to do it. Anyone who insists upon it, I do have them sign a waiver. Because I personally would never do it to one of my comics. You know, you go on Instagram, you go on Facebook, you go on TikTok, and you see these magical stories of people doing it, which is great. It does look good. But I remember talking to my mom back in the day, and she told me that in the 70s, they used to put peroxide in their hair and then go out into the beach to give themselves highlights and or blonde hair. However, at the end of the summer, what you ended up with was a white, strawy mess. Now,
or
in being
clumps of hair in your hand.
Exactly. So now, me being a nerd, I'm not just a self-proclaimed nerd. I do like science. I like everything else that goes along with it, math, history, so on and so forth. I understood the fact that, you know, hair is a living part of you, right? Similar to your fingernails. There are slightly regenerative properties in living tissue. However, comic books are fibers, no more than that. And if you're ever able to zoom in on a comic book with an electronic microscope or even the latest iPhone, you zoom all the way into like 25, 30, you can actually see almost the fibers that make up your comic. Now, when you're putting peroxide in something and then you throw it under UV, you're agitating the fibers in between. And in theory, it shakes loose the debris, particles from oxidization, which it could be like the browning, tanning on a book. If you ever see these weird little orange dots on it, that's called foxing. That's all oxidation. It's a naturally occurring process. It could be worsened if it's kept in a damp place, and it could be mitigated if it's kept in a cool, dark, and dry place. There's also products you can buy that you could put into your comic boxes that could help alleviate that as well. But all of that can be worked on, but cleaning and pressing comics is like basketball. Anyone could do it. There's plenty of books out there. There's plenty of videos out there that you can find, and you could learn how to do it. But just like basketball, I can dribble. I can shoot. I'm not going to be behind Brunson next year. Let's just, all right, for any number of reasons, one being that I'm 5'6", which is like nothing. I'm like a kneecap.
That was legitness, yeah.
But it's like anything else. It's a skill that you should practice. You should hone. It's very therapeutic. I like it. It's enjoyable. But the toughest part about doing it for other people is tempering their expectations. A lot of times people expect miracles, yeah. Right? They think every book we press is going to be a 9.8.
Right.
Everything's going to come out. You know, I've had to explain to people, how come you can't take the color breaks out of that book? I was like, I could. I'm going to get a Sharpie, and I'm going to start putting lines in your book, and that's what we're going to do. And then they're like, oh, you can't. Yeah, no, you can't do that. So I think,
it's just paper, people.
Well, it is. It's just paper. In fact, I did a talk recently at the library in East Meadow, and we couldn't think of a good name for the talk. So we have others scheduled. We're also going to be doing a couple colleges. And I came up with it, and I just said, what are comic books? It's just paper, ink, and staples. So the new, so that is going to be our title for the talks that we do, paper, ink, and staples. And that's really all it is. You know, the value that we put onto it comes from different places. It could be sentimental value. It could be, financial value based on scarcity and desirability. But there's any number of reasons that people gravitate towards comics and collectibles in a whole. I mean, even if you're talking about cards or toys or models or anything people collect, I recently bought stamps. I haven't bought a stamp in like 40 years. Which isn't saying much, because I don't think I was old enough to buy a stamp 40 years ago. I couldn't have even reached
the
counter.
Can I have a stamp, please?
Yeah, they're not putting a kid in diapers giving him stamps.
Yay!
But I went to the post office, and I saw a Dungeons & Dragons sheet of stamps.
Oof.
Yeah, I looked at it. I'm like, I can't say no to that. I shouldn't even be in a post office right now. But since I'm here, I will take that sheet of stamps. How much is that? I had to ask the lady to look at me. She's like, I don't mail anything. I just type it into the computer. I hit create label, and everything is gone. And if you're somebody that I have to mail stuff to, we're just not going to be communicating.
Hassan, you got a question?
After all that,
favorite color is my favorite color is blue. I like scary movies.
That's not cool at all. All
right, fine, Hassan.
All right, no.
You got it?
Here it is. So, you clean comics. Mm-hmm. You basically clean up and straighten out comics. How good is business? How many people come to you on a regular basis?
You'd be surprised. I get books from all over the world, which is interesting. Literally from all over the world. I've had books come up from South America, from the UK. People from around the country, they utilize both us and our Florida location, so we try to keep it convenient. We also go to shows. In fact, recently, for a guy who wanted to get out of the comic business, I keep, entangling myself. It's like quicksand, right?
Yeah,
the faster I try
out.
To get out of this, the more entrenched I become. So recently, I acquired a comic show. It's called CliffsCon, and it runs out of Plainville, Connecticut. It's been going on for over 2 decades. The gentleman, Cliff, who's been running it, is a fantastic person. It's a well-loved show. It's appreciated. Everybody who vends there has a great time. The people who go there say it's been great. When the opportunity came up and the show was up for grabs, it was brought to me by an associate of mine, and I was like, well, I guess we have to do this. And then now I own a comic show. As far as the comic cleaning and pressing, honestly, it's an interesting business. Business is always good. At this point, you have to remember a lot of the older books are not as easily accessible anymore, all right? Or you can't find them. Everyone with a cell phone now is a comic dealer. And that's the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, when you wanted to buy old comics, you had two options. You would go to your brick-and-mortar local comic shop, or you would go to a comic show and or convention, and it would usually be the same 15 or 20 people selling comics.
Right.
And that's all it was. You know, we talk about times before the interwebs. I don't remember too much of the times before the interwebs. I'm glad we have them, because that enabled a lot of people to get into this business. And in fact, you know, the success that Lenny and I have shared with Spineworks was a lot due to that. So our buddies at Three Men in a Basement, they're a YouTube group out of Connecticut, we did books for them. They went and shared it with all their followers, and that's really how we were able to start it. And one of my customers, who's, you know, a friend, and I've known this person since I was too young to go to the post office, was Michael Carbonaro. Okay? He is the creator of Big Apple Con.
Yep.
And he came to my house one day and was like, I'm going to bring all these books to you. Your wife wants you to leave, doesn't she? So he invited me into his warehouse, and I used to rent a room there. And as time went on, I took over the rest of the warehouse, and now we have the comic studio, a comic boutique where we sell new comics as well as back issues, and we have a studio for media.
So we're almost out of time. So social media, where can people find out more about you, more about your stuff? Go.
Sure. On Instagram, you can find me at Michael Raphael Comics, all one word. That's MichaelRaphael, or Spineworks NYC. You can find us on Instagram, whatnot, and the www.spineworkscomicsnyc.com.
Hassan, you have any final thoughts?
No. This was fantastic. Take all the W's out of everything you do.
So my final thought is this. Thank you, Michael, for coming down to be a
guest
on the show.
Thank you so much.
There's so much more I want to discuss about it, because you also have your own show that we want to promote, so we'll have you down again in the soon future. But that is it. Yes, soon future. I tried. But that is it for this week's live segment. Everybody listen to us on the air. We'll see you next time. For everybody else, stay tuned for more. It Came From the Radio.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe, and I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. As I am recording this, San Diego Comic-Con is in full swing. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend this year. I can't say I had attended for 2 years, two times prior, 2 years, 10 years apart, in 2008 and 2018. And if you check out the shows from back then, I've given a full report on my adventures there. But I wanted to mention something about the convention that the first time I went there, I was not aware of Hall H. And the second time, I didn't have the opportunity to check out Hall H, because in 2018, there was tents and people waiting, and they said you had to wait like overnight to get a wrist badge or a pass to get into the place. And I also was told that they did not clear the room. Now, this does remind me of something, which was, and I've mentioned this before on the show, how I went to a convention in the Nassau Coliseum, the Ace Con. The only time, I would like to say, the Ace Con was in New York. And that was the convention where they had the entire cast of Justice League, excluding Ben Affleck, for obvious reasons, at the show amongst many other high-end celebrities. It was 100% a celebrity show. They also had the two main cast members of Daredevil. It was Charlie Cox and the girl that played Elektra. I cannot think of her name right now. And for the 2 days of the show, the convention, maybe it was three, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, 3 days. It was clear that they only had one major panel area, which was half of the show floor. They just cut it in half. One half was the show floor, the other half was the seats. And they made it clear that they were not going to clear out the panels, which, as I said, is something that San Diego Comic-Con does not do. And I had planned to go see the Charlie, the Daredevil panel. So in my head, I was like, well, I'll just get there early on Sunday, plant the spot, get the great pictures, be in a good seat to get the panel. But at the last minute, they said, oh, by the way, we're going to clear out the panel. And everybody who has a special VIP access, whatever, has to go out and then come back in. And everybody was upset, and it was chaos. And I wound up from having one of the best seats in the middle, like dead center, to like the nosebleed section in the convention center. Now, I bring all this up, and I also want to mention that at New York Comic Con, I am under the impression that they do not clear panels as well, but I cannot put that in stone. I can say that every panel I have been to, you just got up and left. And some people in the smaller panels, they tend to stay. I remember our panel that we had in 2023. There was no clearing of the panel. People could have stayed. And after our panel was over, people could have stayed, but they only came for that particular thing. But I had heard about an incident that happened at this year's San Diego Comic-Con, as well as last year's, and maybe even more, because I remember there was the stabbing of the Harry Potter guy or something in a cosplay outfit. We talked about it on the show years back. And what I find interesting is that they was a big, a lot of people who had gotten wristbands that were quote-unquote guaranteed access to certain panels in Hall H weren't let in. There's videos of people waiting 17 hours and not being able to get in despite being told that they could get in, being given the wristband, being told what time to do, following all directions. There was chance of let us in. According to social media and seeing the videos, the staff was not as forthcoming with information as to what was going on and why people weren't being allowed in. And it was also talk, which is unconfirmed as of right now, about people getting access to Hall H where they shouldn't have, people with fake wristbands and or badges to get in, and also a large section for the VIPs. And I think, which is what I want to mention, this little segment, is that I think for something as big, as crazy as Hall H is, and to be fair for all the people going, like, they'll have the dedicated people. Just have a different wristband for different times, have them line up, you get your wristband for this thing, this panel, and then you clear out the room. You know, if you want to get two wristbands, you got to wait on two different lines. As long as that's done correctly, it should ease one of the biggest problems of going to a major panel. Now, I do remember that in New York Comic Con, they had like, you know, you had to get a badge or a pass to get into certain panels. And for the bigger ones, I know last year you had to like register or something ahead of time to get into the panel. You got like messages on the technological side that, hey, your panel's going to start, you better get over here. And I remember one year you actually got to scan your badge and then you had to scan it again, but that wasn't working. I remember because I went to a panel and they're like, your badge doesn't scan. And I was like, but I was here early. And they're like, all right, go step over here. And then they let people in. So I know it's an issue. But just not clearing a panel for San Diego major panel, I think that needs to be something that needs to be done. It gives more people a chance to enjoy Hall H. I probably, if I ever have the opportunity to go back, I probably still wouldn't get a chance to get in. because there's just the enormous amount of people, you know, and then out of that, the amount of people who want to go to these panels. But I still think it's better for everyone involved. That's just my two cents on the whole clearing of panel things. So what do you guys think? Share your thoughts. You can even email me at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And if you put a little subject matter, a marketorial for San Diego Comic-Con, and if it's a good enough response, I will read it on the air in a future segment. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more It Came From the Radio.
Hi, I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
You're listening to Cape from the Radio. This is Dr. Feldin. I'm here with Maheen, a.k.a. Goldie Moon. She's the owner and creator of Dream Beauty Lab and Dream Beauty Magazine and Strangeland Magazine. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Feldy. Thanks for that beautiful introduction.
Now, let's get right to the first question. Photography industry. It's a very competitive industry, I'd say, in the last 10 years. Everyone's a photographer. They have a camera. You're a photographer. It used to be, you know, you have to have special equipment, and that could be very competitive, very oversaturated. You know, people just use the Facetune app, and there, boom, there's a photographer. So what's been one of the toughest challenges you faced, and how did you push through it?
Quite honestly, this sort of job, I don't even want to call it a job, because jobs really are full-time. And this is, yes, you know, like when I'm working and doing photography, it is a job, but it's not consistent. So with this sort of thing, like, what is challenging is constantly having to get clientele, to maintain clientele. And then other photographers, for whatever reason, view you as competition. And I understand, we live in a capitalist society, and money is what we need to survive and thrive. But when art coupled with work turns into competitive, really icky, murky things like that, that's when it starts to feel not as exciting, not as fun to do. It's been hard navigating that. And for whatever reason, I've ruffled a couple of feathers. Maybe it's because I'm unapologetic and I'm confident, and a lot of people don't like that.
How do you know you ruffled some feathers? Have you seen these feathers ruffled? Like, what are some clues?
People tell me it's all over the internet. It's on social media.
People are complained about you? People are slandered?
No. Not. I mean, there might have been one or two people that have complained about me. Those are people that didn't like me to begin with, so they were just cherry picking. You know, I'll take accountability for maybe a few mistakes that I've made. I always felt that if I didn't express myself and didn't tell the truth or be myself unapologetically, then I'll regret it. That's why everything that has happened that's transpired, whether it's haters or affiliates of the haters, you know, like minions or whatever, I honestly don't care anymore. It's kind of like I put my work out there. If people like it, great. If it doesn't resonate, then just move along. If I'm going to be the talk or the topic of conversation, clearly I'm doing something right then.
That's true. One thing I've noticed, you know, in the medical industry and actually every industry that I've been in, if they're not talking about you, you're forgotten. No one wants to give you business. You're going to have a hater or two. And if you don't have a single hater, you're doing something wrong. So
Absolutely. And I think another thing is a lot of people don't like that I have my hands in a lot of cookie jars, but I'm not going to stop my talents and who I am just because it makes other people uncomfortable and they don't like it. I'm multifaceted. I'm able to do a lot of things, and I'm going to do it while I'm still alive. If you don't like it, tough.
Right. And as someone that's almost died a few times, you know, listen, you got to just do what makes you happy, as long as you're not hurting anyone else, and be appreciative and grateful every day, and really ask yourself, if I do this today, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next year from now. And I know that you're goal-oriented, so now success in an industry where your visibility often determines success, how do you handle rejection, comparison, or being overlooked?
I am really good at handling rejection because I've been rejected by a lot of people and things my whole life. So now, as a 43-year-old woman that's very comfortable with the word no, I'm totally okay with it. I say no to people all the time. So I think you need rejection for character development. If they don't want me, if I don't align with them or they don't align with me, somebody else will.
Every time you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. So when you say yes to one thing, you better make sure that it's the right thing for you. And you better get comfortable saying no, because you're not saying no, you're saying yes. And then you're getting to the wrong people and the wrong jobs, the wrong clients. You know, there's going to be offers all the time. And I'd say most offers, a lot of offers come in from predatory people. And maybe it's not best for you. Not everyone's looking out for your best interests. You know?
No, and, you know, like, we live in a society now because of social media. People are really good at pretending to be your friend only to gain access so they are able to acquire whatever knowledge you have for free. Meanwhile, people like you and I have spent years and years and years learning and developing our skills, whether we paid for it or not. It took us time to acquire that knowledge. So why should I just give that out for free? Like, it's, you know, it should just be accessed by anybody. It shouldn't be accessed by anybody. There's a reason why certain people get into Harvard and others don't. That's the mentality that I have. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that mentality. They want to cut corners and whatever, you know. I will be the first one to say I'm not an expert. You know, I'm no genius. I just do what I love. I find it to be great. I find it to be, I don't want to say a masterpiece, but it's close enough, all the work that I put out.
Sometimes your work is a masterpiece. Sometimes I see things and I go, love it. Masterpiece. And I'll tell you, I miss a lot of things too. You know, I miss things.
You know, so, you know. Dr. Feldy, coming from you, that means a lot to me. So thank you.
And I will say, you got to be real careful, because my younger years, I had a lot of people go, oh, we should go to lunch. I'd like to pick your brain. You know what? This is why people pay for classes. You know, everyone, you'll spend all breakfast, lunch, and dinner, coffee, going out for all these 5 meals a day with people that want to pick your brain and talking. I say, you know what? I think you and I are both in the time where it's, let's do. Enough of this talking nonsense. And if someone wants information, you know what? Sign up for an hour and we'll charge you an hour education time.
Absolutely. And if people can't afford things, there's free things that you can use to learn. Sure. But, you know, just don't think that you're going to learn everything overnight. Just like a week of watching YouTube videos or going to meetups. And now you think that, you know, you can do editorial photo shoots. That's just not realistic. And I tell myself that too. There are times where I'm just like, I don't know if that's good enough. I don't know if I should even get that published. I don't even know if I should do that. But I do it just because I feel if I don't share it, then I won't get critiqued enough where I can improve. I feel like it is necessary to allow others to judge your work, whether you get good feedback or, you know, negative feedback. If you're a sensitive person, this isn't the sort of work for you.
No.
You know, like, you have to be tough as nails. You have to be a fighter. You have to be on top of your game mentally and spiritually in order to do something like this, because art is very, very, it's something that is very sensitive. Anything that can move people mentally and make them feel a certain way, that's something that when people are critiquing your work, that's something that you're going to have to feel comfortable with. And that's why when I started doing this stuff, you know, even my friends would tell me, oh, you know, maybe you should do this instead. And I know you probably know some of them too, close friends of hours, actually, that would say, oh, maybe you should do this instead, or send it to this, or, you know, change things up. And I value that kind of feedback because it just makes you a better photographer, a better artist.
And also, you know, everything's very subjective. You don't do too much landscape, not that I've seen, a lot of bodies. So when you're shooting bodies, boudoir, pinup, you know, one person's beautiful body is disgusting to another one. And some people like skinny bodies, some people like big chunky bodies. So you're going to get feedback all over the board. This is a beautiful picture. What's beautiful to one person is absolutely disgusting to another. So you got to, you know, keep that in mind. Also, we have the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Someone has
a little information, they think they know anyone. You know, but when you have more information, those are the people that are doubting themselves, the people with more information. The people with the little information are the things that, you know, they think they know everything. That's what I call the 30-year-old man case. A 30-year-old man thinks they're a man, but you know what? They haven't lost their house, their wife, their mind. They haven't had cancer yet. They have not experienced life. And I'd say every 30-year-old man, at least I know with a power trip, has a bit of that Dunning-Kruger effect where it's like, you know what? You think you're a man? Let's talk to you when you're 4 to 7 years old and you have a big gut hanging over your pants and you've lost two of your wives and you lost your house because your wife took it from you. All right, moving on to the next one.
It's very true.
You know, I don't want to hear from no 30-year-old man telling me that he knows everything. All right, so now speaking of sacrifice, what type of sacrifices have you had to make to sustain both your creative career, and you're also in business? I haven't mentioned this, but you're also in a real business, big deal with a warehouse, you know, really big deal business.
Yeah.
How do you met and your publications? So what kind of sacrifices have been made?
You know, when I got into the whole publishing world and even ramping up with the photography, because when I was living in New York, it was more of a hobby than a business. I didn't make it a full business until I moved to Florida. I was hesitant, you know, because there were a lot of people doing what I'm doing. And for whatever reason, they think that you're stepping on their toes if you jump in and do the same thing that 50 other people are doing. Maybe it's just because it's me doing it that they don't like it, because they don't have a problem with everybody else that's in that same industry doing the same thing. Hmm. And a lot of them are new, by the way. A lot of them are newcomers, new photographers, or emerging pinup photographers, or alternative boudoir photographers. But they don't get any kind of negative feedback, or they don't get talked about or anything. It's just me. I don't know. Now, the sacrifices that I had to make was time. Unfortunately, my health kind of deteriorated for a bit because of a lot of time being consumed with magazine publishing deadlines, daytime job, which you mentioned, it's my family's business. And, you know, I do the accounting work for them. And between the day job and then coming home at night and working on magazine issues and editing photos of clients, you know, you're sitting a lot. And like, it's very, very important to move your body and, you know, get your steps in. And I didn't. So for, I would say about a year and a half to 2 years, my health fell apart. It fell apart. And only now am I doing something about it. And it's been good. You know, I changed my diet. I changed my routine. So a lot of things that I did sacrifice initially, I'm reworking my schedule to make it so I have time for myself. Certain things are just going to have to be put to the side or put on the back burner, because without health, you're useless.
Right. Well, that's why I won't be able to really speak to anyone too close. I've been having a onion every single day for the last 4 days, and I've been dropping about, I'd say, 0.4 to 0.8 pounds a day, because I put on about 11 pounds trying. I'm just going to call it out. Magic Spoon cereal, I'm sorry, never going to be a sponsor. Royal Bread, number two. What was the third one? Quest protein chips. All three of these things, they pack on weight, even though it's 150 calories or something. If you want to gain weight, you eat those three things. I put on 9 pounds in a week. But anyway, I would recommend the Desk Bike. I have a desk bike right underneath right now. I'm on a little bicycle right while we're doing the show here. And also a treadmill, desk, so you can get your editing in while you're walking. It really adds up, you know, try to put that in. Or even if you're doing correspondence, you know, I have a little step here. If I'm texting or on the phone, I'll just kind of go up and down on a step, get some exercise. And I really don't have time to be, like, going to the gym these days or even going downstairs the whole gym. So now, next question. Now, when business pressures start to overshadow creativity, what brings you back to your original passion for photography?
I visit my friends. And when I say that, what I mean by that is I watch my favorite movies. Wow. I listen to music. I listen to all the musicians that have shaped me and made me who I am. And that's what's very inspiring and brings me back to the core reason as to why I do what I do with art and creating it. And, you know, like, with my photography business, it's kind of slowed down. I think a lot of people are reprioritizing their finances this year, which is totally fine. I'm doing the same thing. And let's be honest, photography is not a necessity. It's a luxury. Only certain people can do it or budget it into their life. So it's slow right now. It's very slow for me. So I've been doing a lot of self-portraits. I think people are sick and tired of seeing me, but I don't care. I'm going to still do it because whatever time I have left in this world and whatever youth I have left and whatever looks I have left, I'm going to take advantage of it. Okay. I know you're going to bleep out the F word, but
no,
I'm going to take advantage of it.
I just got a breast implant. So I understand. I'm upgrading myself. You know, I got a little lip injection. I usually do the lip injections on the ladies. So I understand, you know, I'm at a point where I got to max out who I am right now.
For many years, I just neglected my calling and what I wanted to do. And I also felt like I didn't have the proper support or guidance or a mentor or anything. So I didn't know where to start or what to do. But then as I got older and the less F's I gave, I kind of just said, you know what? I don't care. I threw caution to the wind and I am my own support system. Now I actually have a support system, but it started out with just me, solely me, and a couple of really good friends of mine. And that's what initiated it. And now I feel like I'm so happy that I made that decision, because I would have wasted all this time, all these years, when I could have been putting out stuff that inspires other people to do something similar. And you know what? It is inspiring people. I see other people doing self-portraits. I see other people doing similar content, which it's a little weird, but yeah, at the same time, it's kind of flattering.
And I will tell you, anytime, well, in the future, if I get inspired by you or a song, there's actually one song on my playlist that I got from one of your reels. Guess what? I'll give you credit. I got this song from Maheen, or I got this inspired by the, you know, there's no shade. Let's say you do a photo shoot and maybe there's a pose or a dress or something, and it's like you or someone else. I try to give credit and say, you know what? I got this from someone else. It's not from me, because there's nothing wrong with saying that I didn't think of this all myself. And people would say nothing's come from you. It all comes from something else.
And that's the thing, is like, we all get inspired by something or someone, and nothing is original anymore. We all know that. Originality died a long time ago.
Well, there is one thing I'm working on. It might be original. We'll find out.
Oh, I can't wait.
There's two things that are very original. I don't think anyone's ever done it.
You know what? I think I will be stunned and shocked, because you seem to be very innovative, and your evolution of your character is different.
You'll see, Maheen. So we got one more question, but we're at the end of the interview, so hopefully we can have you back on, or if not, maybe El Man can have you on Man Success Network. There's a whole universe of success that's being created right now. You can see El Man. Wife is back there, Vanessa sitting on a chair back there. There's a whole bunch of things that have already been shot and not released, and hundreds of files that we're sitting on. So yeah, so thanks for being on It Came From the Radio Now. And please give us your final thought and where listeners and viewers can find you, social handles, websites. Throwing back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Feldy, and thanks for having me. My final thoughts are, just do you. Don't listen to the distractions, the outside noise. If you have a dream, do it now. Okay. Don't even like put any negative thoughts in your head. Do it now. Stop what you're doing and do it now. Get into it. You only have one life to live. YOLO. Okay. You want to shape the rest of your life to leave a legacy. So I want to be able to say that I'm going to leave this world knowing that I did this, this, and that, and I fulfilled my dreams. And you should too. That's how I'm going to leave it. And you can follow me on Instagram at lady_gold_moon. And then I also have at dreambeauty_lab, and then at Dream Beauty Magazine. I prefer you follow on Instagram, but I am also on TikTok. It's the same handles. Facebook, you know, you just type in the business names and you'll find it. And that's it. Oh, and if you want to email me, it's dreambeautylabstudio@gmail.com.
And now, are you accepting any submissions? I see that you accept photo submissions for Strangeland magazine or for Dream Beauty.
Yes. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, you can also follow me at Strangeland magazine. And you can visit www.strangelandmagazine.com if you want to submit. For that magazine, it's very, very weird, dark, gothic, even some like erotic undertone. So that's the theme. So try to stay with the theme. Okay.
Right. Very cool. You know, we met a long time ago before I was ever an accredited doctor. And I remember you had a cowboy witch goth photo shoot, and I feel like that's
right.
That magazine is getting back to your roots where you're really shining that cowboy goth witch feel.
Yeah.
So very cool. We have an artist here. I've actually, you know, online, I don't think there's any trace of any of Maheen's paintings. I've actually been to one of her houses upstate before that house was shut down, and there was must have been 50 paintings there, and she just left them. She's like, oh, I'll make new ones. And I said, what the hell? I wish I brought my own car here and I could have taken all the paintings back. There was like a whole room of paintings. She just left them behind, and I actually, in one of my rooms, I had them for years, and then I took photos and they're in my files. I had to finally get rid of them myself. But no, she's a painter. She's an artist in every way. She makes jewelry or used to make jewelry. She had a jewelry brand. She had a skincare line that I use. I even have a bottle that was part of a hair care treatment. I still have the bottle. I just refill it with almond oil. It's very great for the hair. So all places art and beauty. There's so much that this woman does, and hopefully we're having her back on the show. This is just
thank you.
We barely touched on the surface here, you know, a real artist. So you keep taking care of yourself, and we got a guest 30 seconds ago. I gotta run to my next guest. So thank you so much for being on It Came From the Radio, and now back to the studio for with Mark
Torres. Thank you, Dr. Feldy.
The Pata, if you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From the Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.